I'm reading from this portion because as I thought over the congregation that would be here tonight, I phoned people to try to get them to come. And I said, well, Virginia will be here, and Marjorie, and Issy. I said, they're all women that are going to be here. And then Virginia brings Tempe with us. And so here, Tempe and three men, there are eight of us here. I don't know if I can speak before so many people on a Wednesday night. So I'm thankful that you are here, but I purposely aimed the message having to do with good things about women. The Bible has good things to say about them as well as bad, just as men. But here is a woman that bestows a good work upon our Savior that is worthy of our Savior. And it's contained in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. And each Gospel has some truths in it that are not contained in the other Gospel. So I have all of them here before me in one book, and I will read and add to it as we take this portion. And look at verse 3, Mark 14, verse 3. And while he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster cruse of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she brake the cruse and poured it over his head. Now notice, it says there came a woman. In John's Gospel, he tells us who that woman was. It says they are honoring him with a supper. And at that supper, you have Martha and Lazarus and Mary. And it says, Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, notice the additional facts. We have the name of the woman who did the anointing. And we find that in Mark's Gospel, she broke this cruse of ointment and poured some of it on his head. And we find also, with what was left, she anointed the feet of our Savior. So now, let's look in Mark again. And it says at verse 4, but there were some that had indignation among themselves, saying, to what purpose hath this waste of the ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for above 300 pence and given to the poor. Let me just add this, since the amount means nothing to us as I read it. But we found that a penny a day was the wage of the working man. So here are wages for 300 days. That's how costly the ointment was. And the question is, why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? And they murmured against her. Verse 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath worked a good work on me. For you have the poor always with you. And whensoever you will, you can do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body aforehand for the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Some people try to be kept in the memory of mankind, and they do great things. They build edifices. Ever so many works are carried out that they might be remembered. But here is a woman that did one thing, and this one thing she did will cause her to be remembered forever. Since the day that she anointed the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and others criticized her, the Lord Jesus said, she's worked a good work on me, let her alone. And it said, what she's done, wherever the gospel is preached, her name will be mentioned. This woman will be memorialized because of what she's done. Most of the people, with the attitude of heart of Mary, are not the kind that want to be remembered. They simply want to do something to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of those that want to be remembered, they're forgotten, or they're remembered in an evil way, a selfish way. But those that are selfless, and they're simply interested in doing something that will honor the Lord Jesus in a way that is worthy of Him, they do things, and they're remembered in God's sight. And the Lord Jesus has established a memorial in the Word of God. And He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so here is this woman, unnamed in Matthew and Mark, but named in the Gospel of John. And she will be remembered forever for this good deed. This comes to mind. Someone asked, can a person who has not been baptized get to heaven? And the answer is yes. But think of this, that the Savior, who wanted sinners to believe on Him, He said, when they believe on Me, I want them to be baptized. Now some, like the thief on the cross, had no opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus and be baptized. But still, he is with Christ in paradise. That's what our Savior told him. Verily I say unto thee, the day shalt thou be with Me in paradise. But he's there, and he is one in heaven who has never been baptized. But I assure you this, that had the Savior said, you should be baptized, if he could have gotten down from the cross, he would have submitted the baptism. But one brother said this, yes, they will be in heaven, but they will ever remember this, that they had an opportunity to obey the Lord who died for them on the cross, but they did not do it, and they'll be among those in heaven who aren't baptized. Think of that. There are some in heaven who have done everything the Lord told them to, like He said, this do in remembrance of Me. There are some who may have never been to a communion service, may never remember the Lord Jesus. He wanted them to do that. They do not have to do it to get to heaven, but He wanted them to do it, and He told them to do it. They'll be in heaven, and if people are talking about their life on earth, tell me about your enjoyments of remembering the Lord Jesus at communion services. They would have to say, I never went to one in my life, or how few they went. But others will say, on the first day of the week, when Christians gathered together to break bread, I was there. And others, were you baptized? Yes. Think of the Philippian jailer who would say, at midnight, when I was prepared to commit suicide, as soon as I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, the Apostle Paul and Silas baptized me. So he'll tell you about that in heaven. And some will tell you about remembering the Lord Jesus Christ at a communion service. But some will say, yes, I trusted Christ as Savior, but I did not follow all things that He taught. But in this instance, God is seeking worshipers. And here is Mary, and she comes and manifests an act of worship that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every person does such a thing. There are some who do seek to worship the Lord Jesus, but their worship is not honorable, and it's not glorifying to the Lord. In the book of Malachi, we find this, that some of the men were bringing sacrifices to honor God, but they had no horns, they had no hoofs, and they were diseased. It reminds us even of today. And so what they did was look upon their possessions and say, well, here is an ox, and he's no good to me anymore. What I'll do is give him to the Lord. And God says, that is dishonoring to me. And there are some who, like that widow that had two mites, and some would say, I'm so poor, I have nothing to give to the Lord. Or some would say, I'm going to be generous and give half to the Lord. But here is this woman who had so little, and she gave all that she had to the Lord. And the Lord has mentioned her. He said she's given more than all the rest. So God takes account of the worth of the gift that you give. Now, to give him something that is as costly as what you earn in a year's time, that is a sacrifice to some. To others, it is nothing. But that woman who had two mites, which make a farthing, it was everything. And so the Lord Jesus saw the rich casting in much in the treasury. And he compared what they gave to what she gave. And this is what he said. This woman has given more than all of those that are casting into the treasury, because she gave of her living. They gave of their abundance. So remember that when you give things to the Lord, that God expects you to give according to what you truly are worth in God's sight. Why, for a wealthy man to give $1,000 is nothing, but for a poor person to give that much, it's a great sacrifice. And the Lord mentions that in 2 Corinthians. It speaks about they gave out of their deep poverty. And so here is a woman, and we are not aware of her wealth, but we are aware of the worth of the gift that she bestowed upon the Lord. I can understand their thinking in one respect, and if you have a pound of precious ointment, why, a little bit of it would have been sufficient to anoint the Lord. But here is a woman who takes it all and bestows it upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And such a thing was so shocking to the disciples that they criticized the woman for it. Now, there are some Christians who are extravagant. Most of the time, they are not extravagant in what they do for the Lord, what they give to the Lord. No. But they are extravagant in what they spend for things that are unnecessary and could go to the glory of God. But in this case, I read to you from some of the Gospels, but I did not read to you from John's Gospel that tell us what caused it all. Why would a woman who is seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you call me your master and your Lord, and you say, well, why would they criticize this woman? It says because Judas Iscariot was the one who started that criticism, and we read in Matthew and Mark that the others joined in with that criticism, and they were taking her to task for the same thing that Judas Iscariot told them about. Now, their thinking would be this. We're concerned about the poor. Why, we could have taken this ointment and sold it for much and given to the poor. Now, that would be truly the thoughts of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, but it wasn't the thought of Judas Iscariot. God tells us, and it's unthinkable, that one of the 12 apostles, who was the treasurer, when money would come in, if there were a sufficient amount, he would take the money. He would steal the money. Now, if there were hardly anything, he couldn't steal the money. But if there were an abundance of money a year's wage in the bag, in the basket, then he could take it and it wouldn't be missed. And it struck him in his greed that this woman has destroyed an opportunity for me to enrich myself. And what is so sad is this, that when some people criticize your friends, do you join in with their criticism and their criticism is wrong? Or do you take a stand as to what is right with the Lord Jesus Christ and defend them? Suppose one who had little to give but gave much for the glory of God, truly for the glory of God, would you criticize that person? Would you not criticize that woman who had two mites and gave them to the Lord? It'd say, it's not wise. Do you not understand that you have to live? I could think that way. And I could think also in ways of economy. But notice that when Judas started it, and other Christians, other apostles are so impressionable that a bad thing that started, they will join in with. And so if someone says something good about a man, do not join in unless you're sure he's good. And if someone says a bad thing about a man, do not join in unless you know that bad thing is true. Because here is Judas Iscariot, and here are other apostles, and they're criticizing the woman. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ who says, let her alone. She has worked a good work on me. Think of that. Now, that would be an ideal situation to be in. To be surrounded by apostles and they're criticizing you. And then to have the Lord Jesus Christ to say, let this woman alone. She's worked a good work on me. And the Lord Jesus will do that. I'm afraid that so often, if a person is criticizing a friend, you do not have the courage, even though you feel that what they are saying is wrong, you do not have the courage to stand up for that individual. I know this. I know a person who was censurable years ago, and yet when people were criticizing that brother, I could not say one thing against him because he had only shown kindness to me. I would have to agree, yes, the criticism you give are true, but I want you to understand this, that he's never acted that way toward me. So if a person is to be reproved, reprove that person, because Christians fail in both ways. Now notice, here's a woman that has done something good, but she's misjudged, and she's called one who has wasted all of this wealth. And so here is a criticism of a person that does something good. But in 1 Corinthians 5, fornication is going on in the church at Corinth, and all the Christians there are quiet and tolerating it, and they're puffed up because we are such individuals that we put up with anything now that people have trusted Christ as Savior. And the Apostle Paul says, it's altogether a fault in you. He says, put away that wicked man from among you. And so Christians are guilty at times in condemning good works and tolerating evil works. So you have to know the Word of God and you have to have courage to say and do what is right and to take a stand. Let's remember that. This woman, whether she knew it or not, and at times, women do have intuitions. The Lord Jesus had spoken so many times about his death. And it could be that this woman, knowing that he was going to die, the way he was going to be treated by the authorities, and he told them he's going to be spat on, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be mistreated, and he's going to be crucified and after 3 days rise from the dead, this woman may have intuitively said, well then, he should be anointed beforehand for his burial. It could be that. Or else, it could be this, and thank God for it. There are some things that we do that are good and honoring to the Lord, And the Lord, because it is an act of love, says, this act of love is going to be for this cause. It's going to be an anointing for my burying in anticipation of my death. And so that's the goodness of the Lord. If we have good thoughts toward the Lord, and the others thought this woman was foolish and was wasting all of this ointment, but if you have good thoughts of the Lord knows the thoughts of your heart, and he will praise you for those thoughts. And there are some things that we do if this woman did not know intuitively and was doing it because Christ was going to die and she was afraid that nobody would give the proper ceremony and respect due to his dead body. If that is so, then it can be looked at in the other way. So whatever, we have thoughts and we carry out those thoughts, or we have acts of love, and those acts of love, because we do love, they are used of God to fulfill the scripture and also the things that should have been done that might not have been done. The Savior says this, whatsoever this woman has done shall be spoken of a memorial of her wherever this gospel is preached. You see what Christ has done? He has anticipated that he is going to die, because the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised the third day. And the Savior says, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. So the gospel is going to be preached, but not just the gospel. So many people are saying, just preach the gospel, preach the gospel. But he said, also, worship is to be preached. When the gospel is proclaimed, then additional things, good things that were done, like the things done by this woman, they are going to be mentioned as well. So keep that in mind. There are some groups, and I thank God for them, and I do see how effective it is when they preach the gospel all the time, that we are sinners and we have to be saved. Yes, that's true. But we are not only sinners that have to be saved, but we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here the Savior anticipates two things, that he is going to die and be raised, and that the gospel is going to be preached. And when this gospel is preached, things that took place during his entire life are going to be spoken of as well. And this woman is going to be named, now that we have all the gospels, she's going to be named as doing a good work upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I thought about women is not only because of what I said at the first, but when our Savior was crucified, if you read in the Gospels, and this is what is so remarkable, you have to read all the Gospels. If you read in Matthew, you'll find two women that are mentioned, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph. Then in Mark's Gospel, you find three women that are spoken of, those two women and Salome. And when you come to Luke's gospel, you have five or seven women that are mentioned. And when you come to John's gospel, you just have one mentioned. But what I found out is that all of these women that are there, when they see Christ and what's going to be done to him, they see that he's going to be condemned to death. He's going to need attention. It says, they are planning to get spices and to anoint his body. Thank God that he has already anticipated this, and our Savior was anointed before his death, and he was anointed after he had died, because Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and they anointed our Savior with 100 pounds of ointment. And then even after that, the other women are coming after that to prepare more spices and anoint our Savior with those. And so here, is the first time he is anointed for his burying, and they're criticized. Here is a pound of ointment. And God says, my son is so precious that I'm going to have him anointed with 100 pounds of ointment. And that isn't enough to some of these women. They say, we're going to add what ointment and spices we have as well. If the child of God and if the church could have this attitude toward the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they should do, then they would never say, well, someone else will give. Someone else will do things. Someone else will go to the remembrance meeting. No. When one like Mary does something for the Lord, she anticipates the others. And then when there are those like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that have abundance of wealth, they anoint him with 100 pounds of ointment. And then the others, even though so much has been done, they say, I want to give my part as well. Think of this. How would you feel if you were that widow woman and you saw all these wealthy men casting money into the treasury and you had 2 mites? I would say, God wouldn't notice it. It's useless to cast this in. But she said, I'm going to do it because this is what I have and I personally am going to honor the Lord. And so she took those 2 mites and cast them in. And in doing that, she gave more than all the others. What does it mean? It means that God puts an estimate of what we do for him, not according to its monetary value, but relatively according to what it cost us to give to him. And all the good things that we are speaking of this night, the good things are about the women, and the bad things are about even the apostles. And so this is a night to honor the women. And so by the grace of God, at some time in our life, may we do something that's worthy of the Lord, that would bring forth his praise if he were in our presence and could tell us concerning. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for what you recorded for us in the Word. We wonder so many times, our God, when we have health and strength and good reasoning, how things will ever get done, and yet you promised to be with us. And so we've seen that. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. We thank you, our Father, that you can do things for us in life, even though we wonder how they shall ever be done. And our God, we are thankful also that we've seen that you can do things for us in death as well. Who knew that these disciples would have boldness and come forth and ask for the body of Jesus and anoint him? But our Father, all that was necessary to honor your Son in life and in death was seen to by your will. And we pray, our God, that you shall place upon our hearts to do things like unto those that Mary did and these other women did and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did. Let us bestow all the honor that is possible upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is worthy of it. And let us disregard the criticisms of men, and let us be satisfied to know that the Lord Jesus has said concerning us, this man, this woman, has worked a good work on me, and it shall never be forgotten, and it shall be spoken of wherever this gospel is preached. Let us be like Mary, who loved the Lord and who honored him in a worthy way. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.